snow and jingle bells, oh, what a happy season. Snowy white snow and jingle bells, echoing all day long. Everyone's gay and wish you well, they have a simple reason. Little red robins in the dell, singing a happy song.
Fairy lights and starry skies, you can have your wish. Candle glow and mistletoe, it's time to steal a kiss.
Snowy white snow and jingle bells, join in the carol singing. Wishing to you and yours and mine a very happy Christmas time.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this snowy Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, at least where I am. Like I said, you know, it's global warming, obviously. We're headed to 20 below, 40 below with the wind chill where I am, but, you know, that's what happens with global warming. So it's hot. It's hot. But it does feel like, you know, Christmas time. It does feel Christmassy, so that's cool. Top of the second hour of today's broadcast. And again, announcements, we will be closed. RBM will be closed for business over Christmas and New Year's, December 23rd through the 26th. And then again, New Year's, January 1st and 2nd. Perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive now through January 8th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stabmiller himself. Winners announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins. And that's 8 p.m. Central. Entrants who do not win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing. Congratulations to previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, and Renee. And thank you for your generosity in helping and supporting the network. I don't understand what that means. Announcement will probably be tomorrow since we are closed this weekend. Oh, book winner. Okay. So this week's book winner, this week's book by way of deception, A Devastating Insider's Portrait of the Mossad, published back in 1990, written by Victor Ostrowski and Claire Hoy. That winner will probably be announced tomorrow. So, do we know what broadcast? We'll see. Since we'll be closed over the weekend, this coming weekend for Christmas, because again, we are there. It's that time. 4 days until Christmas, 11 days until New Year's, but actually it's more like 3 days, 13 hours, 56 minutes and change until Christmas, and 10 days, 13 hours, 56, nay, 55 minutes and change until New Year's. So we're down to hours, basically, at this point. And we're certainly down to hours, less than 48 hours, until we are gone for Christmas here at RBN. So we should know more on the book winner announcement by tomorrow, but expect to hear the winner of this week's book, By Way of Deception, on one of tomorrow's broadcasts. So there you go. We'll leave it there for now. I want to get back to this other stuff. I mentioned Alyssa Childers' interview over at the Babylon Bee. I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit about things, all things Babylon Bee. Maybe I'll mention a couple of things that whatever that I suppose the best way I could put it, you know, I would take issue with. But I think what Alyssa Childers is doing is fantastic. And by the way, you know, her talking about or being, you know, one of these Christian pop band people, you know, Zoe Girl, that story is interesting to hear her tell it. You can actually hear that in the previous interview. I don't remember the – oh, it's actually linked. The previous interview is linked in the description of the video we're going to play, which is titled Alyssa Childers Strikes Back on the Babylon Bee Against Lying Liars, which, again, I don't appreciate the title, but whatever. Because the message is sober, and the Babylon Bee has a tendency, I think, to trivialize things that – are not trivial in some cases. It's a delicate balance, though. We shouldn't take ourselves too seriously, but you know, there are things that we are supposed to be sober minded about. So to hear her talk about her experience, you know, as part of this, not just a, you know, Christian pop band, if there is such a thing, but also the genre and the industry and so forth. It's interesting, you know, she was looking for folks, and I'm sure she's not alone, you know, and people maybe jump on Twitter or whatever and say, I wonder where so-and-so is and what the, oh my goodness, that person has basically lost their faith or walked away from the faith or whatever, however you want to say that. That is the depiction of many of these, you know, former presumed to be Christian artists and bands and so forth. And to me, that is sort of emblematic of the industry. That's part of, you know, it's not surprising. And I would say that, you know, to me, again, The Chosen is sort of in that, cut from the same cloth. You know, you have all of these Hollywood types that clearly there are issues. I mean, you know, Jonathan Rumi, for example, they're going to, you know, Dallas Jenkins is excited about the Halo app and we're all praying and everybody, Jonathan Rumi is saying, hey, let's pray. My question is, who decides? Who's in charge? Who decides? Is the Holy Spirit really at work in that? You're telling me that the Holy Spirit needs the help of an app? I think it's reductive, and I don't think the Holy Spirit's in charge or at the center of that and, you know, at work in that, per se, if that makes sense. So that's my take. Anyway, this whole, you know, the seeing the path and the trajectory now in hindsight of this whole Christian so-called music industry. Again, you know, folks like Spencer Smith have talked pretty extensively about that. It's not difficult to see that if you have this machine that is satanic at its core, that's running this stuff too, that eventually it's going to turn into what all of the, you know, what has happened to all of the Mouseketeers, for example. You know, they all turn into Miley Cyrus's or Britney Spears or Katy Perry's, things like that. So maybe, you know, instead of imagining that Hollywood is going to magically change its stripes, maybe we should understand those things properly and not be fooled continually. But I want to get to the Alyssa Childers thing. Alyssa Childers, in her own words, let's do that. Go ahead, please.
Right now, like I'm thinking back to when my dad became a Christian in the late 60s, early 70s. Everybody knew they were sinners. You didn't have to convince people.
For sure.
And so when you present the gospel, it was seen as a cure. Whether they accepted it or rejected it, it was like, well, here's an answer to the problem that you're having, right? Mm-hmm. But today, the hardest sort of opposition to evangelism today is trying to convince people that they're actually sinful.
Did
Thank you for tuning in. This is the Babylon Bee interview show. I'm Jarrett LeMaster. This is my friend, Sam Greer. We're going to be interviewing a really special host today. I'm personally a massive fan of hers, and she's been really instrumental in our families. We've dealt with a lot of progressive Christian stuff in and around our family and our church too. And so you've been very helpful. So this is with us today as Alyssa Childers.
It's a thrill to be here. I've been a Babylon Bee fan from like way back in the beginning days when you had, I mean, I think my still to this day, my favorite all-time Babylon Bee article is the guy who goes forward for the altar call just to put the altar call out of its ministry or out of its misery. Remember that one? It was like years ago, just ages ago. Yeah. I cracked up at that so much.
Yes, that one's a good one. I like the ones that are directed at the church. They don't get as much traction as the ones that are political, but they definitely...
They're still part of our core brand.
Yeah, this is awesome. Well, so you were part of the band Zoe Girl. Oh, by the way, you're promoting your book today, which is Live Your Truth. Live Your Truth.
And Other Lies.
Got to get that second part in there.
I know, that's true. Yeah, we got to make sure we're this is what we're criticizing. So, hey, you were part of the band Zoe Girl, and I'm looking at the photo right now. And you guys look like triplets. Which one is you?
So I'm the only non-blonde.
Oh, there we go.
That makes it easy.
It wasn't four non-blondes. It was just two.
Just one non-blonde.
Just one non-blonde. Non-blonde.
We have a question along the Zoe Girl lines. I mean, the contemporary Christian music scene and, you know, around the turn of the century was a unique time. Would you ever consider bringing it back? Would you do a reunion tour if the other Zoe girls were up for it? Or if you could get Super Chick and Barlow Girl to all come out together, would you do a comeback tour?
You know, I would not rule out anything.
In fact,
the girls and I have talked about even coming together at some point. Of course, we've been talking about this for like 10 years now, but doing a lullaby album, because all of us started singing lullabies to our kids, and we're all still good friends with Trisha from Super Chick. So, I mean, it's plausible. Plausible.
So no big feuds or anything like that. You guys don't hate each other after all these years. It's not like the Police. No.
And everybody's still a Christian, which is amazing.
That's
cool.
All three
of us are still Christians, which these days is kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal. And I'm always so frustrated to see some of my great heroes from the 90s that I was a Christian kid in the 90s, and a lot of those folks have walked away or they become progressive, which is essentially the same thing. And so, really, really sad. So I'm reading your book right now. What are the happy little lies? They sound so positive, life-affirming, that our culture is telling us. What are the worst lies? Who's the biggest liar? Other than Satan. So what do we need to watch out for? What are these lies? Tell us a little bit about your book.
Yeah. So this book came on the heels of my first one, which my first one was about my experience of walking through a faith crisis facilitated really in a church that would end up becoming a progressive Christian church. And along the way, I was kind of doing this deeper dive for that one. And then along the way, I noticed just these social media platforms that began to pop up everywhere and gaining like up to 1 million followers. And these were people who were calling themselves Christians. They were promoting their materials as being, Christian books and Christian Bible studies and things like this. And yet the messages that they were promoting were all about kind of, it would eventually lead you to worship yourself. So everything from, you're perfect just as you are enough, God just wants you to be happy, you should put yourself first. These are the kinds of messages that were really gaining a lot of steam that were sort of rooted in progressive Christianity, but they were also really big in culture. And so that's when we began to see a big crossover of maybe somebody who used to be a Christian mommy blogger and then ends up writing books and going on Oprah and then is some of the main people promoting these kinds of messages still under the guise of Christianity. And so I wanted to just kind of take a look at some of these slogans. And I think, they really are like slogans because we have social media and people like to throw things on a graphic meme and share them out. And it's just like these kinds of things that sound good. Like it sounds good to tell somebody you're perfect just as you are, or you're enough for yourself. Like all of that sounds good. It sounds positive. But in the book, what we do is we kind of just dig right underneath the surface and look at just the logical failure of some of these ideas. And then we go even deeper and look at the spiritual rot. So we go to the Bible, we look at what the Bible has to say, which really gives us so much, not just more of a truthful way to live, but such a more just life-giving and peaceful and just better way to live even in the here and now.
We're glad you brought up the Bible. I know in the Bible it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It also says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Calling us sinners, it doesn't seem very encouraging. Do you think you can recommend some other books that'll affirm our felt needs and remind us of, you know, how complete we are and how beautiful we are?
Preferably Norman Vincent Peale. Please.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
I'll tell you, it's crazy right now. Like, I'm thinking back to when my dad became a Christian in the late 60s, early 70s. Everybody knew they were sinners. You didn't have to convince people were sinners. They knew that. Mm-hmm. And so when you present the gospel, it was seen as a cure. Whether they accepted it or rejected it, it was like, well, here's an answer to the problem that you're having, right? Mm-hmm. But today, I tell people the hardest sort of opposition to evangelism today is trying to convince people that they're actually sinful. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I love that you bring up what the Bible has a lot of really difficult things to say about our natural state and about our hearts. I mean, we are called children of wrath by nature. So like, you know, Jesus saying you have to not find yourself or affirm yourself or live your authentic self. He says you actually have to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. So the Bible has this really radically different message to give us, but it's so hard these days to convince people that they're sinners when absolutely every message that's being pumped at them through all sorts of social media platforms and online streaming platforms is just affirming, like, whatever you find inside your heart is going to be good. And so you need to identify that, proclaim it to the world, and live your truth, right? Live your most authentic self. And so we have kind of an uphill battle as Christians, because we have to actually convince people that they're not good.
Amen. Yes. And I was just going to chime in. Something you said earlier caught my ear. You talked about how living according to the Bible creates peace. It's more peaceful. We don't see peace around us, and it's because, I think, of what James talks about, the wisdom from below, which is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, versus the wisdom from above, which is peaceable and pure and open to reason. Go ahead, Jarrett.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. The people that buy into these philosophies, you see how their lives sort of like fall apart. I mean, I think there's a quote, there's a story that you tell in Live Your Truth. That's one of my favorite parts. Where you say, yeah, I'm going through this. I've never actually flown a plane before, but we're all going to fly together to Arizona. I've read some books. I'm sure I can make it happen. You know, and like, you know, you don't join with people that are like, I'm just authentically broken. You can be authentically broken too.
Yeah.
You want to look to find, you know, to find, it's like, girl washes her face, stops apologizing, and is still going to live an eternity without God. What is that? That was one of our RB headlines. This is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, you guys have some good ones.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's great. So the culture says love is love. Women's rights are human's rights. Science is real. What do you have against love, science, and human rights?
Everything. They're terrible things.
Why do you hate them?
So this is the thing, though, right? So in the book, I talk a little bit about how postmodernism has really infected our culture. Like, most people just living in the world today, at least in the West, have a postmodern outlook on life, and they may not even realize that. And, you know, postmodernism, of course, marked by its hyper-skepticism, it's marked by its rejection of absolute truth, or at least a rejection of the idea that if absolute truth exists, that it could be known. So this is why, as you guys so, you know, artfully demonstrate time and time again through your satire and your posts, is that whenever somebody comes along claiming to know what is actually objectively true when it would come to things like religion or morality, those are seen as power grabs. So the culture around us, because they've adopted...
Okay, we're going to pause. Probably going to need to back up on that too a little bit to go forward, but I don't know about you. It's interesting. Alyssa Childers talking about what's going on in the world today. Is it new? Is it different? Or is it the same old thing repackaged? Talk more when we come back. Stick around.
You can plan on me. Please have snow.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
There's an old Christmas card in an old dusty trunk, and it brings back sweet memories dear to me. Though it's faded and worn, it's as precious as the morn when I found it neath our first Christmas tree. I thrill with every word, every line,
each line.
Yes, I'm always sentimental round this time.
This time.
Pardon me if a tear falls among my Christmas cheer. It's the memory of an old Christmas card.
Welcome back. That's fun stuff. So, just a parenthetical aside before we get back to the Alyssa Childers interview. And in fairness, we could have started there. We could have started where we are. We're going to pick up and continue at the 9-minute mark here in a second. We probably should have just started there. My apologies. But we could have done without all of the introductory shenanigans. Parenthetically, you know, we are encouraged to be we are encouraged to be tolerant. Tolerant is the, you know, the operative word. And but what does that actually mean? As you know, as we heard John MacArthur play when we played that clip last week, one of the biggest lies that predominate our society is that the highest virtue is tolerance. I agree with what he said, that righteousness is the highest virtue. Tolerance is not particularly virtuous, but righteousness certainly is. So it's interesting that, you know, there's a particular emphasis placed on a particular group and a particular proclivity, shall we say. That's what tolerance centers around. We're certainly not supposed to be tolerant of Christian folks because they're just not, you know, they don't. So this is it's a demonstration of Marcuse's repressive tolerance. Obviously, we need to silence these people in the name of tolerance, so that we only hear from these people in the name of tolerance. That's really not very tolerant. That's very intolerant. Ironically, but it's interesting. There's a particular focus, and the Bible makes it clear that sin is sin. God is no respecter of persons and all that kind of thing. However, not all sin that you read about in the Bible. I mean, there is, you know, for example, it's not alcoholism, it's drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. And, you know, there are many others that are named, obviously, in the Bible. And, you know, some of those are spoken to in the Ten Commandments, for example. Idolatry, adultery, you know, these kinds of things. But it's interesting that, you know, in the story of Lot and the angels that you read about in Genesis 19, there is a hubris and kind of an aggression that you see exhibited. That is, I would say, frightening in a word. And not everything rises to this level. You know, sin is sin, obviously, but not everything is branded as, you know, the Bible repeatedly mentions this theme of Sodom and Gomorrah or Sodom and Egypt. Not everything seems to rise to that level in a certain context. And so, you know, this is something to be mindful of and to watch out for. Hopefully that makes sense. You know, I think I'll just maybe leave it at that. I'm not trying to be cryptic, but it's interesting. This is the focus, that we're being corrupted intentionally in our society, and we are encouraged to go along with it, or somehow it makes you bigoted and evil if you don't. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Yourself a merry little Christmas.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My Christmas song for you is all the old things tried and true, like jingle bells and chestnut dells, a valley white with snow. My Christmas song for you is all the old things in review, of window bright with candlelight to set your heart aglow. Through the door of Christmas tree, sparkling with dreams made for you and me, hoping you'll be there, sweetheart, to share all of the season's blessings. My Christmas song for you is all the good things people do, red stockings hung.
Welcome back.
By glowing fire.
Sodom and Gomorrah is a graphic sort of depiction and reminder of bad things. You know, it's mentioned, Sodom is mentioned 48 times in 47 verses in the King James. And, you know, a few of them obviously are, many of them are in the book of Genesis, but not exclusively. And you hear even into the New Testament reminders, you know, including Jesus. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Why did he say that? And what is the significance there? You know, Luke 17:29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an sample unto those that after should live ungodly. Interesting. Jude 1:7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Revelation 11:8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Interesting. So this is a type, this is an archetypal representation of something, and I would submit to you that we are being encouraged to move socially in that direction. Why? And just as one, I don't know, point of note and maybe something to think about, I would submit to you one of the main reasons that we are being sort of herded in that direction is because if you can be hardened on that, you can be hardened on almost anything. Think about where we are already. I mean, we, as a society, we have not just unequivocally condemned the murder of innocent unborn children. We condone it, and you know, unless you're one of the folks that is out protesting and we're arresting grannies who say that's not okay. And, you know, now we're circling back and the Biden administration is sentencing 70-year-old grannies to, you know, years in prison for saying, I don't think it's okay to murder innocent unborn children. That's where we are in this society. So if you can be hardened on the Sodom and Gomorrah or Sodom and Egypt line, then there's pretty much nothing that you can't be hardened on. Sin is an afterthought, as we sort of started today's broadcast with an illustration of, juxtaposing the paralytic scene from the, as depicted in The Chosen, versus what Alistair Begg said about it. And so if you can be hardened along this line, this is not a stopping point. And I would say, I would even go as far as to say it has nothing to do with tolerance. Herbert Marcuse's repressive tolerance really is not about tolerance. It's about moving you to somewhere. And, you know, you look at the hubris depicted in Genesis 19, it's really something. Lot is entertaining angelic guests. And verse 3 says, yet urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But then this, before they lay down, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. What is this, the zombie apocalypse? And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. This is something. You know, and again, we are reminded throughout the Bible of this episode and its archetypal representation. Sin is sin. God is no respecter of persons, but this is an archetypal reminder that is repeated over and over into the New Testament. It is the bookends of the Bible in a sense. You know, you read about it from Genesis to Revelation. And yet we are being herded. We're being forced in this society to act wickedly. So, you know, I mentioned Acts chapter 4 yesterday and the sermon, and I think we are at the moment in America, it is an unwholesome moment, lacking in virtue, largely. It's really unfortunate what is happening. But I think we're at that moment where a lot of people are faced with the choice, as was put to Peter and John, for example, in Acts chapter 4. And so you read in verse 18, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they were threatened further, etc., etc. But I think we're at that moment, for sure. I remember Chuck Missler saying back in the early 2000s, about 2006, I want to say, probably won't be long before the real church goes underground. This is a guy whose family, you know, had its roots in Germany. And his, you know, he would tell the story of his grandparents in Weimar Germany. And, you know, people would bring wheelbarrows of cash to buy bread because the price of bread was doubling every, 48 to 72 hours, something like that. How long does that last? You know, you've done the penny doubled for 30 days. What does that result in? You end up with Zimbabwean hyperinflation, that kind of thing. We'll all just be carrying around $1 trillion Federal Reserve notes or something. Anyway, I think we're at that moment where, like Peter and John, the answer is whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. And leave it at that. And not take ourselves too seriously, you know. God doesn't need our help necessarily. Jesus certainly doesn't need us to defend him. You look at Revelation 19, for example, and I expect to see a white horse on the clouds at any moment. But we are called to stand fast in the Bible and to basically hold the line until he comes. So for whatever it's worth, there's that. To the phones before we go back. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too,
Merry, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. The past couple weeks have been so wonderful. I can't thank you enough. And thank the Lord. Actually, I was thinking about Romans. You know, one of the things the Lord led me to after my brain injury, and if anybody would like to pray for me, please do. I'm swamped right now and struggling. But it was to read an entire book at a time to get, like, the whole picture, the whole story. And I learned it with Job. Like, who's this guy, Elihu? Because you never hear about him, only, you know, Job's three friends. But, mm-hmm. you know, when I was reading, like, Romans 6, 7, and 8, and, you know, everybody always wants to preach, you know, we just all keep on sinning, you know. And you know,
may
I figure everybody's
be.
Saved from boredom on Sunday morning or something. And you know, just say the prayer. And it's like, what about repentance? Because I what I learned was nobody ever told me the truth.
Faith without works is dead.
I would have died and gone to hell. I was told that all I needed was faith. Faith alone, nothing else.
Yeah,
yeah, faith. You got to have faith, but you have to know what we believe in. You know, because it says that, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Walk
Romans
not after the
8,
flesh,
1,
but
I think,
after the
right?
Spirit.
Yeah.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that to me is like sometimes a minute-by-minute daily thing,
yeah.
You know? But if I trust Jesus and hang on, I don't have to walk in sin. I mean, his grace saves me from living the life I used to live. Perfectly? No, clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do it by myself. I can only do it by him.
Yep.
And what is sin? You know, it's like, so we're just going to do away with commandments and make up our own? I can't do that. God wrote them with his own finger. They
well,
matter.
Well, let's answer that
but
question
strengthens
real fast.
Them.
Let's answer that. It's a rhetorical question, but not so. Whatever the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And the Bible also says, you know, because we can, people will split hairs and say, well, it's not in those 613, so it must be okay. No, whatever is not of faith is sin. And the Bible also says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Yeah.
So there you
I
go.
I mean, there's always the, you know, we can
and,
rationalize anything. We could be
right.
Jefferson
and there are
and
the guys who, you know,
stuff.
Yeah. The guys who are talking to Jesus say, you know, people will say, well, you know, I have never committed adultery. And he says, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery. Oh,
yes.
That's a different
standard. He strengthens
standard.
Everyone. He just, mm-hmm. But I wanted to give you a present. I actually, the Lord leads me to hear something I wouldn't have heard otherwise. And Saturday night, I actually called in to listen to that BBN radio. And so you can find it on the archives. There's a program, Tiny Berg. It's like a little talk showy thing, you know, like talk radio, but it's not old time. And it was the best Christmas story. So I wanted to share that with you if you'd like to look it up. It was probably only like 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is there's only one pastor that actually comes close, in my opinion, to preaching the gospel. And I listen to him after you during the week. And you can find him on nationalprayerchapel.com. His name's Ray Greenlee. And also the other thing is, you know, I told you about that old-time radio on Christmas Day from 12 to 1 on WAMU, 88.5 FM. They're going to have the Christmas story and then, you know, like Christmas Carol probably, Ford Theater. And then on Christmas Eve from 8 to 11 and Christmas night from 7 to 11. I was going to say, if anybody doesn't have the ability to go online to hear that, like I don't use the Internet, they could call my conference line, and I could just, you know, put them near the radio to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
But it's not that's not gospel-y. That's NPR. Mm-hmm. that when you get into the old time things, they had no trouble speaking about Jesus and the gospel and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there was a time. You know, getting back to kind of the earlier things you were saying, I think of, you know, speaking of the book of Job, what Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Because, you know, that's, I mean, the devil wants us to deny our faith and, you know, well, if he loved you, he would do this or that. Though
sometimes
he slay
we
me,
suffer.
Yet I will
Paul
trust
suffered.
In him. Mm-hmm.
Paul had his, I guess it was his eyesight, but the thorn in his side. And Jesus told him he was sufficient for him.
Yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. And
yeah,
what does Paul
not everybody
say? Therefore,
gets healed.
I will boast in my weakness. Mm-hmm.
That's how I fell for, you know, when you're in pain, it's easy to slip. Mm-hmm. And that's how I fell for, oh, if that works, I'll buy it. Well, I'm paying the price trying to get out of that one.
Yeah.
How'd you do with the map of spirituality?
You talking about what I mentioned yesterday?
Yeah. I actually rebuke that whole chakra thing.
I've
been there, done that, know about Reiki. People who practice Reiki use spirit guides, and that is not godly.
No. Yeah, I, you know, I was not intending to be critical, particularly of, you know, other folks. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to.
No, I don't want to be critical either, but people need to be aware that when we get into that heebie-jeebie stuff, that is the Bailey woman and heebie-jeebie stuff. And heebie-jeebie's not of God.
No, it's, yeah.
The New Age is not God.
Nope. Nope, absolutely. That's a fact.
Because don't worry, they'll promise you the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean anybody in particular. I mean a lot of people in particular, generally.
Right.
You know, this is a narrow, straight way.
Yep.
And so I thank you, Chris, that you speak truth. And I just ask God to bless you mightily because you bless us. You bless me so much. I can't thank you enough.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Here's just a few. Carrie. Great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I miss the thrill of grammar school romances. I miss the junior prom and graduation dances, the gossip in assembly hall. I'm homesick, that's all. I miss the gang that hangs around at Miller's, devouring chocolate sodas with a whipped cream.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast. So what is the Christmas story? I think it's summed up in verses like Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And, you know, this is, I would say, the reason for the season. This, I would argue, is, you know, kind of it in a nutshell. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But what comes next? And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is an imposter who masquerades. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. You know, we've heard from the League of Nations, United Nations, and that contingent that, you know, we have to have these organizations for peace, and we've had only more chaos and disorder as a result. Isn't that interesting? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That all of that last stuff, you know, kind of gets lost in what goes on this time of year. I want to close by giving you today's entry of Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, Experience or Revelation. You know, we hear about radical empiricism and higher criticism and all that stuff. But when it comes to experience, this, I think, is a good perspective. He cites 1 Corinthians 2:12, "We have received the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Chambers writes, "Reality is redemption, not my experience of redemption, but redemption has no meaning for me until it speaks the language of my conscious life. When I am born again, the Spirit of God takes me right out of myself and my experiences and identifies me with Jesus Christ. If I am left with my experiences have not been produced by redemption. The proof that they are produced by redemption is that I am led out of myself all the time. I no longer pay any attention to my experiences as the ground of reality, but only to the reality which produced the experiences." And that's a capital R. "My experiences are not worth anything unless they keep me at the source, Jesus Christ. If you try to dam up the Holy Spirit in you to produce subjective experiences, you will find that he will burst all bounds and take you back again to the historic Christ. Never nourish an experience which has not God as its source and faith in God as its result. If you do, your experience is anti-Christian. No matter what visions you may have had, is Jesus Christ Lord or your experiences? Is Jesus Christ Lord of your experiences, or do you try to lord it over him? Is any experience dearer to you than your Lord? He must be Lord over you, and you must not pay attention to any experience over which he is not Lord. There comes a time when God will make you impatient with your own experience. I do not care what I experience, I am sure of him. Be ruthless with yourself if you are given to talking about the experiences you have had. Faith that is sure of itself is not faith. Faith that is sure of God is the only faith there is. I hope it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.